You know, I was listening to Jesse Duplantis recently give his testimony of when he went to heaven in 1988, and he met Abraham, he met David, he met Jonah, and he met the Apostle Paul. He was sitting in a windowsill. His feet didn't even hit the ground. And he was teaching like 8 or 9 people. He was just teaching them things. You know, we will be learning in heaven. A lot of stuff we can get out of the way, though, if we learn it here first. So we won't be in kindergarten with those who just made it by the skin of their teeth. We ought to have more trophies than that. And he kept on saying, this angel kept on saying to him, we have an appointment with the Most High God. And so he couldn't stay long. And he said, Paul, let me ask you something. What was the greatest moment of your entire ministry? He said, well, the greatest moment of my ministry was really towards the end when God made my words his word. He adopted it into it, breathed on it. And he said, I just thought I was writing these things because they were good things from the Holy Spirit, but God adopted it and said, it's mine. That's my word. And to know that I was working with him in that capacity was just a total fulfillment of joy. And he says, I know you have to go, Jesse, but one more thing. This is the Apostle Paul talking to him. He said, just one more thing. He said, you know that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 where I said that light affliction which lasts but for a moment? You know that verse? Yes. Let's put that up, John. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, he says, here's what the church has done. You know, they can see us from heaven. There's portals where they can go out and they can look at the things on the earth. And he says, the church has turned a moment into a lifetime. He says, can you fix that? He says, I'll do it. Our light affliction, we've got to understand that our afflictions in this world are a light affliction and they only last for a moment. This lifetime is, it's a vapor. It just seems like a few days ago I was hacking around with my best friend Wayne back in New York State. And then I was diving and pole vaulting and I was playing baseball and, you know, it just seems like yesterday. And this life is a vapor. But the ever-present God never changes. He never changes. And he is always just as, in fact, I think his word is getting stronger and stronger and stronger and more vital every single day. We are, we're going to change that moment. We're going to change that lifetime back into moment where it should be. Then it'll work for us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look, where are you looking? Looking at the problem or are you looking to Jesus? While we look at the things while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary. 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 That means they come and go. They change with the wind. You know, I remember the New York Press used to say about the New York Yankees, you know, you can be a hero one day and a heel the next. You know, they'll cheer for you one day and applaud you and say, hey, he's the greatest, and the next day they can curse you. Because they're fickle. But why? Because it changes with the wind. This world changes with the wind. Opinions change with the wind. While we look at the things that are not seen, for they are eternal. It says this in Hebrews chapter 12. I didn't write this down. John, so 12 verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with patience, endurance, really, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. But while you're going through it, it doesn't seem good. It doesn't seem like this is working for you. It's working against you. But as you embrace the things of God while you're going through those things and say, you know what? I'm going to cause this to work for me. Devil, you brought this my way. God doesn't cause affliction, by the way. That affliction is here, and it's of the devil. And a lot of it happens because of ignorance on our part. But none of it comes from God. No affliction comes from God. No sickness, no disease, no problems, no temptations. In fact, they say, you know, God is testing me. That word tempt, test, and try is the same word. And it says that the Lord tempts no man. Didn't he say deliver us from temptation?
Yes.
Okay. So why would he cause it?
Yes.
The world's got us, got God working against himself. And for, I mean, the insurance companies call storms an act of God. I beg to differ. Would Jesus work against himself?
No.
Against God, if God causeth the storm? You know, even Elijah, when he was in a really bad place with the Lord, he said he saw this great storm coming, this great wind break the rocks apart. Now, that's a big, that must have been like a mega tornado or something. Broke the rocks apart. He said, but God wasn't in the storm. Wasn't in the wind. Praise God. We are beginning a new series today called The Perfect Gift. The Perfect Gift, and this is part one, The Perfect Gift has. So turn with me to John chapter 3, verse 16. You probably are familiar with this passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world that he should condemn it. Yes, but that the world through him might be saved. Man, that took a lot of love. I mean, if the world was plummeting you, and you want to hit back. I know Donald Trump wants to hit him back. Whenever he wants to tweet something nasty and everything. You know, one thing that he should learn is to allow God to be his defense.
Yeah.
Allow righteousness to be his defense, and he'd come out a lot better. Because he's got so many great ideas and great talents and everything that has hindered him. He sent not his Son into the world, but the world through him might be saved. It says he, in verse 18, he that believes on him is not condemned. Do you believe in Jesus? Then you are not condemned. No devil accusing you before the throne of God has any kind of a legitimate case. He has to undo what Jesus did for you in order to do that. All they can do is accuse, day and night before the throne. That's what he does. But if you believe in Jesus, you are not condemned. I like that. You are not condemned. But he that believes not is already condemned. They're already on their way to hell. He came to stop that. But he that believes not is condemned already because he has not believed. It's not because he sinned. It's not because he committed violent things and murdered people. It's not because of that. It's because he didn't believe in Jesus. He that believes is not, but he that believes not is condemned already because he has not believed. Do you know there's only one sin that's sending people to hell? And that is that they don't believe in Jesus. That's the ultimate sin. I'm going to do this someday. I'm going to preach a message, and it's entitled Hell, the Ultimate Failure. Because the world needs to hear that. God doesn't send people to hell. They send themselves by rejecting Jesus. And this is, verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. See, people don't want to be reproved. People don't want to be exposed as being wrong. You know what that is? Pride of life. That's pride. They don't want to be exposed. Hey, let the Holy Spirit cut you to the heart and expose you for who you are. And when you see yourself as... or Robert, Kenneth Copeland, when he was a very young Christian, he'd newly been saved, and his mother and dad brought him up to Oral Roberts University for a partners meeting. They got this invitation for a partners meeting. And he was sitting there at the table, and Oral Roberts came up to the microphone. He says, "The Lord's put it on my heart that if you are not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need to come up here and God will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and you'll speak with new tongues." Well, people started coming up, and Kenneth Copeland looked at his mom and said, "Do I need that?" She says, "You need that." He cut a line. And he went up front. Oral Roberts laid hands on him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He came, sat down, and he just started worshiping the Lord. He said, just worshiping God in tongues. And he opened his eyes, and he saw the line that was standing before Oral Roberts, ready to get their hands laid on him. And it's like their bodies just disappeared, and they look like stick people with these big heads, filled with absolutely useless knowledge. And in that stick figures was all of these sores and oozing, I don't know what you call them, like ulcers and stuff, just oozing out stuff. It was terrible. And he started crying out. And do you know what the Lord said to him? He said, "You know, you ought to see the people out there. This is the best of the bunch right here. You ought to see the people on the street and how they are hurting and how they are holding on to so many things that don't belong to them." Man, I'll tell you something. You have a key to the power of God that can kick in the gates of hell that hold them back. You have those keys. You have the keys to unlock the perfect gift. You are a gift. I'm not doing that to inflate your pride, because in me, I have nothing, I can do nothing, I know nothing, and I am nothing. But in Christ, I am who he says I am. I can do all things through Christ. I have more than enough that all I need. All of my needs are met in him. I can do all things. I have all things. I know all things. I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. And I am a son of the living God. Not because of my works, but because of his and what he's done in me. Praise God. The perfect gift. For God so loved that he gave. These six verses right here, John 3:16 through 21, this is the gospel of the kingdom. This is the wisdom of God. This is the foundational. These are the rocks and bricks of a foundation of our faith, and everything that we build our faith on are in these verses right here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's too many Christians trying to work hard to get into heaven. Heaven is already there. You have been translated into the kingdom of heaven. You're not working or trying to do things. You have been given the perfect gift who keeps on giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. He keeps on giving. He keeps on giving. He keeps on giving. You have a need? He's there. this is what we got to get used to. We're looking out here to try to get our needs met from out here. We need to know and approach it from the fact that we already have all of our needs met according to his riches and glory. And it's a manifestation. It's not a provision that comes from out here. It's a provision that's already in here. Call it forth. Call it forth. This is why praying in the morning like Jesus did is so important. Because you're calling forth the things that you need for that day. And then you're in a state of expectancy to it will show up when you need it to show up. Because you'll be expecting and you'll recognize it. I mean, here's Jesus asleep in the boat. Totally. I mean, he had a long day. And he ministered to a lot of people. You know, Kenneth Hagin used to say that healing anointing that came on him so many times, he says you just can't stand, hold on. It's like holding on to an electric wire. You can't hold on to it for too long. You'll have to let go. It's that anointing, and it drains you. You physically cannot stand up to minister anymore. So I would like to have that anointing. How about you? Amen. Where was I going with that? I'm trying to think of where I was going with that. You know, you get in these rabbit trails and the provisions don't come from out here. That's where the God of this world lives, out here. When we look with our physical eyes or hear with our physical ears or touch or taste, our five physical senses are subject to the elements of this world, where the devil is, and that's where deception comes from. That's where value systems are subverted into this world's value system. We have a totally different value system that says God so loved that he gave. Amen. If you love, you give. That's the love of God. That's the God kind of love that gives. Now, here's what I'm getting at. Let's show that, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his own, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have. When do you have everlasting life? When you believe. You say, Jesus is the Son of God. I believe you raised him from the dead. He sits at your right hand. He's my Lord. From this moment forward. That's when you receive eternal life. That is the beginning of understanding who you are in Christ, who he is in you, that you have. Now you don't have to work for anything anymore. You don't have to work for justification. You don't have to work for forgiveness. You don't have to be good or else. Do you understand that? You don't. It's done. It's a finished work. It's complete. We are complete in him. And when you confess your faith in him, you have Zoe, eternal life. That word, eternal, everlasting life, or eternal life, or life, or life eternal. All those. It's one word. It's Zoe. Z-O-E. And it means the life and nature of God. It's the substance of what makes God God. And when you believe in him, you have Zoe. This is what ticked the Pharisees off so much. When he used that word, says, if you believe in me, he says, as the Father gives life, so has he given the Son power to give life. Zoe. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And it says this, verse 24. Verily I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has Zoe. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So you've already died. If you're born again, you have done all the dying you're ever going to do. No more fear of death. You've already died. We used to sing this song. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Then we're singing this chorus. Ye are dead. I always thought, you know, somebody landed here from Mars or something and saw this. What are you? Verily I say unto you, in verse 25, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. For as the Father has Zoe in himself, so has he given the Son to have Zoe in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he's the Son of God. Did it say that?
No, Son of Man.
Who are you? Jesus became everything that you are. He shed everything that belonged to him. He has authority to execute judgment because he's the Son of Man. That's where the authority is. This had to be the perfect gift. This had to be the perfect gift coming from God into this earth that could take everything that we could do, but we didn't know we could do. You know that serpent in the garden? It had more authority than the devil, but it didn't know it. You have more authority over your body than you know it. It starts here, in your mouth, in your words. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Healing and deliverance are in the power of the tongue. Life and death and everything under those categories. All of the subsets under life and death are in the power of your tongue. And you have authority to execute judgment on your body, minister justice to your body, minister mercy to your body, minister healing and health and wholeness to your body, right here. Yes. It's in your hands.
Amen.
You have the keys, and they're in your heart. You need to speak them out. You are the living stone that casts the stones of his word at all of those enemies of your spirit, soul, and body. Right there. He has given him authority. He has given you authority to execute his judgment because you are a son of man. Not because you're a big muckamuck. Not because you're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. Not because you go to church every Sunday. No, because you're a human being. I'll tell you something. People in the world without Christ have more authority than the devil, but they don't know it. They're blind to him. The biggest weapon that he has against them is that they don't believe in the devil. They don't believe in the word of God or the consequences of not believing. I thought that was good. That was worth visiting right there. Wasn't it? The gospel of the kingdom of God is a lot different than churchianity. Church, I'm going to go to church. Churchianity, it becomes a habit. It's no longer a living, vibrant fellowship with God. Let's get past relationship and get into fellowship. Isn't that where John, see, John lived there, the Apostle John. He lived in fellowship with God, not just relationship with God. He said, these things we declare in you that you may have fellowship with us, because our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed the tenses in the New Testament, like past tense, future and present and future tense, that all of these things are relegated to a past tense? I wrote some of these down here. God gave us his only Son. We have already eternal life through believing in him. In him we have redemption. You have it. It's a possession that you have. You have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law, Christ being made a curse for us, that he was made to be sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Christ. This is already done. This is a done deal. We are to walk in the finished works of Christ, not trying to get into them. Are you guys here today?
Yes.
I mean, you know. Yes, Pastor, that's good. That's good. Because you're very quiet. We got to get this place dancing. Because this is shouting ground coming up. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now that's old King James, and it takes some unraveling to bring it up into our understanding with our current vernacular, with our current language. It says he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The term heavenly places is a term meaning in the spirit realm. That's what it means. It doesn't mean up there. It could mean right here. In the spirit realm. God the Father has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In the spirit, because of what Jesus did, unwrapped himself to this world, showed the glory of God, went to the cross, paid for our sins, and now has lavished the blessing. All spiritual blessings, they are a reality in the spirit realm. So how do we get them from the spirit realm working for us in the natural realm? Because if you're like me, I need to understand more about that. I need to understand more and get my hands on this stuff a little bit more all the time, and I'm getting more light all the time. I didn't write this down either, John. We're going by, you know, a higher authority today. But 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1 says this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was what?
Manifested.
And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was what?
Manifested
unto us. Okay, verse 1. That which was from the beginning. He's talking about Jesus. He was from before the beginning. He lived eternally before the beginning of time. And John said, which we have heard. Let me ask you this. What comes from hearing?
Faith.
Faith. A workable faith. And it's not just any faith, it is the faith of God. It's God's own faith that is inherent in his word, which we have heard. So faith comes by hearing the word of God. That which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Now he saw him with his physical eyes. But if you adapt and you, we can see him as seeing him who is unseen. And that's why we need to hear all we can about faith, because our inner eye starts to see him, who he is, what he has, all he can do, where he is, the realities of his covenant, of what he has done and perfected for us. Which we have seen with our eyes. That means you've kind of like brushed into it and you've been introduced to it. And then it says, which we have looked upon. This is talking about meditating on the word of God. This is having fellowship and intimate relationship with the word of God. This is where you're meditating on it and it begins to open up and reveal to you.
Amen.
Who he is, what he has, what he can do, and where he is at the right hand of God, as well as in you by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And then what happens? We have handled. This is the process of manifestation. Bless you, son. This and our hands have handled. So that which we have heard, faith comes. We look at it and say, wow. So you drop your old vision of yourself and you adopt a new vision of yourself. Then you look into it and you start meditating on it and it becomes a reality and you start walking in that reality. And what happens? Your hands handle. That which was from the beginning, and you handle it. Our hands have handled of the word of life. This is all an example of what happens with us. What happened with them physically happens to us spiritually. For the life was manifested. It says we have handled. And the life was manifested and we've seen it. Has that life manifested in you? Did you? Well, let me ask you this. The day you were born again, did you have a peace that you didn't have before? I did.
Amen.
I had sobs coming out of me in places I didn't know I had. And you know why I didn't know I had them? Because they weren't there before that. I was a new creation. And it was pushing out all of this stuff. And sobs just coming from in here somewhere. But I had a peace. Life was manifested and we have seen it. You can see the new life in people, in yourself. Where are you looking? Remember we talked about that? While we look, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. We need to walk in the eternal truth. In the things that, but let's go back to verse 1, Phil. That which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. Before you had a sniffle in your nose, before you had an ache in your back or a headache, before you had any sorrow, there was him who was from the beginning. Before you had anything wrong in your life, before you were embarrassed, before you had somebody teasing you in school, before you had anything, before you even uttered a cry from your mother's womb, there was that him who was from the beginning. And he came and canceled out all of those negative things, all of those sinful things, all of that. It is a perfect, perfect union that has lifted you up and out of all of that. And he's given you a life that's worth living. He's given you a hope and a future. Amen? That's just the beginning of this series, the perfect gift. And it's not that we're just sitting around the manger saying, oh, isn't that wonderful? No, this is applicable stuff that we can use in our life. That which was from the beginning, he didn't need a thing. He came to rescue. The responsible creator became the responsible redeemer, and he's working on your behalf all the time. We need to open up our eyes to it and see it, handle it. Those prayers that were prayed over you this morning, they are answered because God is faithful. Those things that he has spoken over you, he watches over his word to perform it. Those things are happening. Like we said last week, just because you don't see it immediately doesn't mean it's not happening. Is working. It's happening. Amen. So look, walk in that expectation and the road will come up and meet your feet.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Bless you, Father. We thank you. Lord, you're such a good God. You're such a good dad. Such a wonderful... Angels, thank you for being here. Holy Ghost, thank you for being here. Jesus, thank you for fulfilling your promise that wherever two or more are gathered together in your name, you are here in the midst of us. Thank you for baptizing us in boldness and in confidence, knowing that we can speak and heaven responds, knowing that where we go, you go. And because we are there, you're there. All the authority that you have given us is a holy thing, and we take it seriously, but we consider it all joy. Thank you, Father. No more exciting life than the one Jesus gives you. Praise God. Well, I did have a good message prepared for you, which we never got to today. But this isn't like Sunday go to meeting. This is like going to the altar of heaven and just opening up. Praise God. Now, if you need prayer for anything else, please come up. Our altar ministers will see to it. Meanwhile, we will see you Wednesday night for Relationship University. And we look forward to a couple of weeks from now when the kids from KPA do their little presentation for us. Next Saturday, this coming Saturday, is right, Shop of the Cop. And we're meeting, and the information is on the back table, or Lori's got information, and she'll get that to you, where to go. We're meeting at Fox Valley Baptist Church on 68, just east of 25. And that's where you're going to pair up with the cop and the family or the child that you're going to be bringing to Walmart. And the hours are listed there on the, for Lori has all that information for you. God bless you. Praise God. Just go in his peace and go in faith. Also, Olichka, with her good self, has prepared a wonderful lunch for us in the cafe. So eat up, be filled, be warm.